going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome to The Compound, hosted by Ian Happ.
It's a grand slam for Ian Happ. What a play, Ian Happ, into the Ivy.
Dakota Meckes.
6'7", 250-pound Meckes. Swing and a miss. Struck him out.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast. This is episode 255. That was a guess. Is that right?
It is correct.
255 of the Compound Podcast, presented by Parse Rum, our friends at Parse. Go to Binny's, get your Parse. Tom, can you get us the Binny's place to get Parse of the week?
Yeah, I'm looking for an apartment here. One of the places I'm looking in, Lincoln Park, 1720 North Marcy Street. Go get your Parse at Binny's.
I've been to that Binny's. They have Parse, black box, red box, Parse, 3-year, 8-year, 12-year. Get it, drink it, love it, Parse. New tagline.
Bring the box to the stadium. Ian will sign it for you. That's a personal guarantee from Ian Happ.
Personal guarantee. I am relinquishing my host duties this week. You guys
no,
have topics.
You can't. I'm can't out. Relinquish fully.
All right, we got to explain when we're recording this, because we're recording this Sunday night after the Cubs had a twice rain delayed 11 inning contest. Honestly, I got to give you credit, 8. I was talking here in the office. I was like, "There's no chance we record this." I figured you were to send a text and be like, "We got to bag it." But I give you credit for persevering here, because this is a long day at the ball yard for 8.
I'm here to play, not host.
You know what I want to say? I don't think you deserve credit at all. It wasn't that long of a rain delay.
There was two.
But they were short ones. Don't. Like, this is
hour 39 combined.
I need Zach here for this, because this, Ian, that's not that tough.
I mean, no, but it was.
They weren't long. It wasn't like, oh, it was supposed to first pitch at 1:10 and first pitch was thrown at 4:30 and we were sitting in the locker room 3 hours. Like, it was. That's short delays, right?
It was like a 10-11 hour day at the yard.
But you love the game. Where else would you rather be?
Wrigley at a 1:20 on Sunday, which turned into a 3:10 on Sunday. Nowhere.
I'm not going to give you that much credit for that. I think Tom's trying
to fluff me, and you're just trying to tear me out.
No, because I don't think you need a fluff. I think you're fine.
Right. I just think Dakota had a day where he golfed and was having a great time with his family. And the other two of us might have been grinding at the ball yard all day. So, you know, I just think it's a little different. I don't think I appreciate it.
Tom's still at work.
Hey, I'm a Monday to Friday guy. Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to go have some fun. And that's what I did. Went golf today. Had some fun with the family for Easter. It was a great day.
Before I start hosting, May 31st.
I was going to say, when you said like you weren't going to host, I was like, well, you already missed one thing. You didn't pump up the live show.
I'm here. May 31st, live show, Music Box Theater, tickets on sale, musicboxtheater.com. I think that's right. Pretty sure. Tom confirmed for me. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Musicboxtheater.com, May 31st, 7 p.m. It's Saturday night. We're going to do the live show. It's going to be great. Get your tickets now. $25, general admission. Going to be great.
Going to be great. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
Everybody's going to be there. Okay.
Other things, if you're watching, if you're trying to find the video episodes on YouTube, Marquee Sports Network, go to the podcast tab. There you go. You found the YouTube video.
You can't come in here and say you're not going to host and then get mad when Tom tries to help you host. You can't. You can't, I'm not mad. Ian.
Nobody's no, mad. But having, you were having a great
you
time.
Were perturbed. What a word choice by me. You were a little perturbed.
Also, if you watch the video, I got a new camera. I got a new light. I got all kinds of stuff going on here.
You'll
maybe
notice
I look better than Dakota.
Ian's got like a red beard. People might notice that. I don't know. I'm not going to say that. Maybe he's self-conscious about it. Maybe he does.
He specifically said, don't bring it up. And that was the one thing.
And that's why I did it, because he said he looked better than me and I had to fire back.
That's getting cut.
No.
I think it has to stay now. I do think it has to stay.
Tom, if you don't, I will listen if you don't cut that.
I don't believe he'll listen. I think you roll those dice, Tom.
I'll be livid.
What's he going to do? Fire you and then go back to editing himself? No chance. No chance.
Who wants to start as the host here? Who's got okay? Dakota, you are now the host. Congratulations.
Me. The first thing I had, I figured we'd just start with the Cubs D-backs game Friday, because that was it was bottom seven, top eight, bottom eight, right?
Yep.
The craziest inning and a half I've ever watched. Like I was just sitting on my couch. I'm like, oh my God. Like you hit that grand slam, electric, sick. What else is new? IHA delivering in a big spot. You guys go up 7-1. And then they answer back with 10. And that top of the eighth was crazy, too. Real quick, the wind was howling out, right? Correct. Like howling.
Yes.
So that was one of those days I was texting Scotty about it. And Scott's like, that's one of those days where you kind of like sink into a corner in the bullpen. And you're like, nope, don't pick me. Like, I hope when that phone rings, it's not me, because this does not look like fun.
It was a rare April 75-degree day at Wrigley. And so those don't happen very often. When you get a heat wave like that, wind's coming from the south, it's blowing out towards the lake, and it was going. And there was a couple
really
probably
cheapies.
There was probably a couple that wouldn't have gone.
Kelly's second one was a cheapie.
Yeah, that it was at 41. It's pretty high, but like it's hilarious when a guy like gets one. Like Suarez hit it like 103.
I mean, that ball was gone. The wind could have been howling in. That ball was out of the stadium.
No.
The one to center.
That's a ball that, like,
today. It went 460.
That's what I'm telling you. Today, that ball probably doesn't get out, is what I'm saying.
That's crazy.
Like, there's like 103 at 25 or whatever he hit that to left center, left center. Like, there's a lot of days that doesn't get out at Wrigley. There's
I do think you're just counting, though, that it's Eugenio Suarez who has pop for days. I mean, 80 power guy.
I'm just saying those numbers at Wrigley don't always get out. Like, Kyle Tucker hit one 105 at 25.
That was a laser. That's
like
out.
the first week here out. Like we saw Judge hit a ball.
Wait,
108.
Like he got out or out like a home run?
He was out. He was. He didn't even get to the track. We saw Judge hit a ball 108 last year. We saw Stanton hit a ball like 112. It didn't get out. Like there's plenty of times that happens where it doesn't get out. And that ball like had a jetpack on the back. It went. It got up and it got out in a hurry. Like there, it plays just two completely different ballparks. Yes, wind was blowing out. Hard hit balls in the air were getting out. And yeah, I would like to call Elias and figure out when the last time a team gave up 10 runs in one inning and won a baseball game was. But really amazing job by the offense to stay in it and go get those runs back. And then Presley in the ninth was nails.
Well, real quick, would your home run get out on a normal day or no? You got that ball. That was loud.
No. There's a lot of days where that's an out.
Did you get that ball? Like, did you feel like you got it? No. It sounded like good contact.
No, there's a lot of days at Wrigley. Most days at Wrigley, that's an out.
By the way, I have your answer. It's been 113 years since a team allowed 10 runs in a single inning after the third and went on to win the game.
Good for the Cubbies.
It was impressive, though, after that top half of the eighth, and then you guys come back and answer back the way you did. Like, just, like, the resiliency side of things was sick. I think it was at one point, like, 38 batters came to the plate in, like, an inning and a half, and it was, like, it was just something you never see in baseball. It was, like, what is happening? Like, on Twitter was just exploding. It was, like, what is going on at this Cubs game?
I was so excited when they brought in Joe Manaply to face Ian, because I was like, oh, former Yankee stinks. Here comes an Ian laser. And then they had Kyle Tucker. And you're like, oh, it's Kyle Tucker against Joe Manaply. This is obviously a home run. And it was. And then after everything that had happened, that was one of the most insane endings to that inning you could have.
Can I just say, Joe Manaply has dominated me in my career.
Luckily, I didn't know that. That was all vibes and eye tests. And I said to everyone, I was like, here comes an IH-8 laser, which you did hit.
Joe Manipai's been, he was an all-star in 22. Joe Manipai's been very good with.
But Ian, you're missing the plot here of like for the Yankees, he wasn't good. And that's all Tom. That's all Tom knows. He's like, you know what? When he's on the Yankees, he stunk. He could have been a Cy Young Award winner.
He threw three innings with the Yankees. He threw three innings.
I saw enough. I knew.
And pitched in one game.
It wasn't what he needed to see. Tom said, you know what? Get this guy out of here.
Can I just say this? Your Joe Manipai frustration as a Yankee? He threw in one game in 2019, and he got the win.
I was working for the Yankees in 19. I was very familiar with the minor league report. Go look at Joe Manipai's numbers. He was not good. I'll stand by it. He got optioned after the game. I am right. He gave up all the runs. You hit a laser off him. He got optioned after the game. I'm not going to lose this argument.
That's incredible.
Go back to the greatest game.
So back to the greatest game. It was electric. It was one of the more fun like baseball games you'll ever watch. Like we talk about all the time, like people want to see home runs. Like that was an electric baseball game, and it was in like the afternoon on a Friday. I think it was like the only game on, so it probably had a ton of eyes on it. There was a tweet I saw, or like maybe like a video clip. Do you know who got the win for that game, Ian?
Yeah. Presley got the win, but go ahead. I'll let you go.
I was just going to explain how he got the win.
Yeah, go ahead.
So top of the eighth, Ethan Roberts comes in to get the last out of the inning. He ends up giving up a home run. I forget to who, to make it 11-7, and then gets the last out. I think he threw like five total pitches. Cubs come back, take the lead. Presley comes in the ninth, shuts it down. So normally it'd be like Ethan Roberts gets the win, Ryan Presley gets the save. But I saw like a video clip that said like the scorekeeper has the power to decide like Ethan Roberts didn't make enough impact on the game to deserve a win. So they can award the win to the pitcher that comes in next, which was Presley. And I have never seen that before in my life.
The rule is called the brief and ineffective rule. So if a relief pitcher comes in and throws less than 2/3 of an inning, and gives up at least one run, because Roberts only charged with one run because all the runners on base, he was not responsible for. But they apparently, this is something that they started talking to official scorers about in 2022, trying to emphasize, because this has been in the rule book for a long time, but I think a lot of official scorers have been hesitant to use it. And it was used there. It's interesting because Presley obviously thought he had a save, and now one save taken away from him.
That's what I was going to say. What's funny is I'm sure Presley, as a closer, would rather have the save than the win on his stats. Like he would.
Plus, your teammate gets a win. I think everyone on the Cubs would probably prefer that it was the other way around.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. Doesn't Presley want that save?
Yeah, like it looks better on his stats to have a save than a win as a closer.
Scorekeeper trying to do too much.
Well, did you guys see today? In the Yankee game, Max Fried had a no hitter going out into the eighth inning.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this. And then scorekeeper went back and changed what was originally ruled an error on Paul Goldschmidt into a hit. I've seen a lot of hot takes on Twitter. I actually kind of think it's the right call. I mean, I hate the changing of it in that moment, obviously. But I do think Simpson stole like 150 bases last year in the minors. He's probably going to beat Fried to the bag there. So I don't actually hate it, but it's a tough for the scorekeeper, I think, to make that decision after you've already called it an error. I kind of think you have to let it stand, at least in the moment.
If you watch it, it's a foot race and that dude's flying. I'm still a little upset that the double I hit, Tavares, is an error. So I'm down on scorekeepers right now. But I mean
that you should be. We talked about this off air. I was livid. I mean, nobody touched the ball. Ball hit just shy of the warning track. Nobody touched it. How is that not a double? I'm ready. Anytime you want me to bring me to the MLB offices, I'm ready to go on that one.
Wind blown in at 40, you know, whatever. But yeah, I don't know.
I didn't really like it. It was like an interesting thing that I just had never heard of that like ruling before. And I was like, I think if you ask Presley, like he'd be like, no, like, please give me the save. I'd much rather have the save.
Or he should get both. Like he saved the game. Like
I kind of thought he should get both. I think that like, should probably.
Mm-hmm. If you don't want to give Roberts the win, then he should get the win and the save. He should be able to double dip because saves are precious in this game. They're hard to come by. It's really hard to do, and like he deserved the save for that effort, especially with the wind blowing out at 40 miles an hour. Like that was very impressive what he did, and it feels like he wasn't rewarded.
Yeah, it was a weird choice to make that ruling.
Ian, after the 10-run top of the eighth, was there a feeling in the dugout of like, we're good? Or was it like, yeah.
What just happened? Yeah. It's more of like a what just went on out there. Yeah.
It was a what just happened. But I think I might have said this in my post-game interview, but we have a group of professionals that is going to go up and take their bats. Like, we have a group of experienced dudes that understand that no matter the circumstance, like, you're going to take your AB, and we did that. I think it was just super impressive. Like, guys getting on base, Carson hits the big homer, and then, you know, being able to keep going and give Tuck a chance to put us up there, like, just professional at bats one after another, and even tacked on another run with the Bushy after that, tacked on another run.
Yeah.
Saya, so
hold on. Yeah, sorry, Saya went back to back.
Yeah. I mean, just really a great effort by the offense.
That is one where, like, after that 10-run inning, like, you come in a little shell-shocked, but you also didn't remember, like, hey, it's a 4-run game. We just watched them hit, like, homer after homer. Like, guys, if we just can get a couple people on base, like, and then get someone get the ball in the air, like, we could tie this right back up. And it helps, like, a huge moment in that inning, looking back now, was Nico's down 0-2 and then gets hit by a pitch. And then PCA works a walk. And then Kelly hits the homer. And just like that, it's a one-run game. And it's like, we're right back in this. And obviously, like, things just kept rolling from there. So
that's one of those games that, like, all the little things get overlooked because of the big homers and big moments. Like, little things like that. Little things like PCA working a walk against a lefty. Like, those things get overlooked, and like, those are the things that build the momentum. Cause it's very easy in those innings to make one out that kills the momentum instead of just like building. And we did a really good job of that throughout the game.
Working a walk versus like, hey, there's one guy on base, you can't hit a 4-run home run. Like, take your walk, like, pass the baton, like, get to the next guy, and like, we'll keep going.
Also, I'd like to say just a comment on that game was Colin Ray versus Corbin Burns. The fact that when those guys came out of the game, it was 2-1.
Yeah.
After
five on that kind of day too, when the wind's blowing.
After five or six innings, just a hell of a job by C-Ray to keep that thing together and pitch around damage, give up one run, and then, you know, Corbin Burns, same thing. We scored two with a homer.
Kelly hit a 2-run homer in the second inning.
In the second? Yeah. So we scored two in the second, and he did a really good job of settling in and limiting damage. Both the starters did a great job in that atmosphere. And then it kind of opened up after that, but pretty impressive by both of those guys, and C-Ray especially, the way that he pitched that game.
Well, I was going to say, just going back to that crazy inning, helps obviously after that PCA walk that you have the best hitter on the planet right now, Carson Kelly up, who's just... I mean, his numbers basically stayed the same after he hit two homers on Saturday. Like, his OPS barely went up. That's how good he was. He's on such a level where you hit two home run, and you're like, your OPS more or less stays the same because it's 1,500 already.
I texted Scott, and I go, is Carson Kelly going to win MVP? I go, this guy might be the best hitter in all baseball.
His OPS plus after that day, I believe, was 308.
It's 366 right now.
I don't think he played the next day either.
He did not. He Maya started the next game, which was tough.
He's hitting. He's got 31 at bats, 6 homers, 18 ribbies. He's hitting .419, .578 OBP, .1097 slug. Good for a .1675 OPS, .366 OPS plus.
I mean, his. I guess it's not talked about that much. He did some work on his swing this offseason, but like, his cage routine is pretty unique. Like, it's really cool what he's worked on and like what he's thinking about. And he's a good, like, was a second round draft pick, was a big prospect, like, good catcher back there, good arm, good receiver, all that stuff. And like, he's got thump. His BP is impressive. Like, everything that he's doing and the lift that he's given our team is huge. Good dude, handles the staff well, like, all those things. But, yeah, obviously the numbers show, like, it's been fantastic. But he puts a lot of work into it, too, which is cool to see.
What makes his cage routine unique? Like, what's he doing that's different?
I don't want to put his cage routine out there. But, like, he does some unique stuff that is, like, Zach would love this. Zach would love his cage routine. Zach would be like eating it up. Zach would be texting about it. Zach might text about it if he listens.
I was going to say, if he listens to this, you're getting a phone call tomorrow.
Yeah, but it's really clean moves. He's trying to do something very specific. Sometimes it's hard for guys, especially coming to a new organization. if you have a unique cage routine, if you're thinking about things different than other people are, to do that and to do it from day one and to be okay with it and say, like, this is what I'm working on. This is like what's going to make me a good hitter. And he did that from day one. Our staff is obviously very open to it, and like, which is great, but it's something that I am very impressed with, just the way that he goes about the work and the dedication that he has to it. And it's like super effective. And like, it's really easy in spring training. Like if you're doing that stuff and it's not working, and I have no idea how his spring went. That's bad teammate. I have no idea. But like if he would have had a tough spring to like yard sale that, but he just had a lot of belief in it, and it's pretty cool.
Tough when you don't know, you go on the road, you don't have any idea what's going on in the games.
To be fair though, I mean, you got 20 guys, like you can't worry about everyone's spring.
Yeah, what am I going to be dialed in on everybody's spring training?
I will say though, the cool thing about Kelly is go look back, and you mentioned like track record there, second round pick, former big prospect, but 2019 in 111 games, he had 18 homers, a 112 OPS plus, and then he's only played in 100 games once since then. So there is some of it of like, he just really hasn't, obviously catching is kind of changed over the last decade where there's very few catchers that are getting 400, 500 at bats, but that was the most career plate appearances he ever had at 365. He's never had that many again. And obviously he's not going to have a 366 OPS plus. I'll go ahead and report that now at the end of the season. Probably not. At least probably.
You never know. You never know.
But obviously there's going to be some regression back to the mean a little bit. But I do think there's a chance that this is pretty real in terms of the fact that, like, could he be a 120 OPS plus guy? And, like, could you guys have above an 100 OPS plus out of your catcher spot, which is, you know, basically no teams in the league are getting. If you get a league average production out of that spot, that's huge for your lineup.
And it's really – I don't think people talk about enough, like, the catching spot. It's basically a platoon spot unless you have Realmuto, like – You're getting half of the at-bats ish. There's going to be a little bit of more or less depending on right, left, whatever. But like to hit two homers and then get a day off and to be completely okay with it and to like come back the next day and still rake, it's not easy. It's not an easy job to say like, hey man, like we might pinch hit in the eighth inning and then you're going to have to come in and catch an inning, or you're going to dominate for two straight days and then you're going to sit because that's the way that it goes. Like, and to come back every single day, same routine, be ready to go, be locked in on either the team you're facing or the guy you're catching, plus take your at-bats. Like, it's really, really tough to do. And I commend those guys on the ability to like not get at-bats for a day or two and then jump right back in there and be rock solid.
And Dakota, I mean, I think you can speak to this a little bit of like, the most valuable thing for your organization is if you can have a couple catchers that like you trust and that are reliable and like are good with your arms. Cause that the effect that has for the rest of the team is I think monumental.
Oh, I've said it before. I was always in the mindset of like, I don't care if our catcher goes 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts. I'm sure they don't want that, but I'm like, if they go back there, steal me a strike or two, call a great game. That is ultimately like what you prefer. Like Ian said, like Realmuto's, I feel like really the main Contreras with the Brewers catches a lot, but like
Kyle Raleigh.
True. There's a handful, but like majority, I'd say 20 teams probably have like more platoon situations of like guys will go maybe 2 days in a row and then it's like, all right, let's get the other guy in there. So it's tough, like you said, Ian, to kind of hit two homers one game and then the next game it's like, all right, Miggy's behind the dish, and it's like, okay, like cool, I'll be ready for Sunday or whatever, like I'll be ready for the next game I'm in there. So it is impressive to see, and it's sick for him to have this start, and I bet he finishes with a 366 OPS plus. Suck it, Tom.
And Miggy's been great too, but the interesting thing about just the schedule in general is like, so Carson hit that cycle in Oakland. Carson hit that cycle in Sacramento when we were playing the A's.
Oh, good, good. I did not catch that.
And
staying in.
No, you can't clap. You can clap for fun, but it's not getting cut.
Carson hit that cycle in Sacramento, and he didn't play the next day. But it's because the schedule, we went night, day. And so he did that the first game of the series, second game of the series was a night game, and then the last game was a day game. So because we were facing Like, we were facing a lefty the last day. He's historically hit lefties very well, so he was going to have to play the last game of the series. Like, no matter what, even if they wanted to put him in, can't catch him three in a row. So, like, the schedule dictates a lot of that, and the uniqueness of Wrigley, back-to-back day games, or Thursday night to a Friday day, like, all those things play into it. So it is – a lot of that stuff is out of their control, and, like, people are like, why would you bench him the next day? Well, it's – a lot of it is forward thinking based on matchups, mm-hmm. based on schedule.
The catching position is not one where you can go day by day basis. Like you said, like, you have to do some forward thinking of, all right, like, we got a lefty the third game of the series. Like, we don't want Kelly catching all three. So, like, we're going to go Amaya here, Amaya there. Like, it's planning ahead. And that's why the managers get paid the big bucks.
I want to ask you one more thing about that 10 run inning of that crazy game. When you're on first after you hit that single and Tucker comes up, my feeling as someone who's rooting for the Cubs and, you know, has a background as a fan, I would consider myself a Cubs fan at this point, rooting for you guys, was I didn't have any doubt that Tucker was going to come through. And I honestly kind of felt like he was going to hit a homer. And that's the having the ability to have a guy like that is so monumental. Did you, when you got on, were you like, we're going to come back? Like, did you have that kind of feeling at first base?
Yeah, I think after I got that hit, knowing that we had Tuck and Saya coming up and Bush.
And that Joe Mantiply sucks.
And the wind was blowing out. I think that those were like, hey, we got a real chance here. I think still, you know, you got a left-on-left matchup there. You got, like, it definitely was a day where there was no thought in my mind of trying to steal second base. Like, it's like, absolutely not. I'm staying put right here and letting someone get a ball in the air. But, yeah, I think Tuck's been unbelievable, man, and, like, his ability – to just hit the ball hard all over the field. Like, it's pretty impressive. He puts together great at-bats, whether they're hard hit balls or walks, and he's making everybody's job easier. You know, he's making it easier on Say. He's making it easier on me. He's given us just really quality at-bats in the middle of the order, and opposing staff, opposing pitchers, opposing pitching coach, like, they're worried about Kyle Tucker, and they're making matchup decisions based on him, and it makes everybody's life easier.
When you were up today in the ninth inning and the runners are on, obviously, in a huge spot, and you go up 2-0, you have to have a little confidence knowing, hey, Kyle Tucker's on deck. They're not going to want to walk me to put me on to face Tucker. Or is that, like, something that goes through your head a little bit of, like, hey, I got Kyle Tucker behind me, so I know that there's a chance that I'm going to see more, you know, whether it's fastballs or more pitches that you're going to be able to handle at least.
Yeah. I don't know that it really goes through my head. I think, you know, I'm still walking at a high clip, like a clip that I always walk at. Like, I think that there's definitely some situations.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, like, specifically in a situation like that, where it's like, they're not going to want to put you on in front of Tucker.
Yeah, I mean, maybe like a two out, nobody on situation, where, like, two out, nobody on, I'm probably going to see pitches to hit. Or, like, say in the past, maybe there was a two out base open situation, like runner on second, first base is open, or maybe I might see some more off-speed stuff out of the zone for Chase to see, and, like, a team's not afraid to walk me, whereas, like, now with Tuck hitting behind me, like, they'd rather probably pitch to me than Tuck. Like, that's probably real. I can't say that there's been a situation this year where I'm like, that definitely just happened, but it's probably happening more. But, yeah, I think his presence, I think that you can feel that other teams are aware of it. And especially, I think the one thing I've noticed with pitching changes, just there's definitely some times where teams will go to, whether it's, you know, Saya's kind of protecting Tuck away from the lefties, but there's definitely situations where they'll go to a lefty to face the three of us, where, because they're worried about him, because, like, he's the focus. There's definitely some of those situations, or a situation where you're going to get a really good arm in the seventh or eighth inning because he's coming up. Like, that, I think that's real.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
And we'll be right back.
Aaron Judge.
Good player.
Good baseball player. Solid baseball player. Sitting .397, 7 home runs. Good for a 1236 OPS. Sounds pretty good to me. The reason I bring him up, though, Tom definitely saw this. He hit a home run today in the eighth inning that was called foul. The replay, it is clearly fair.
I was about to say, when you had 7 homers, I was like, he's got 8. I mean, he just has 8, and unfortunately one of them doesn't count for some reason, but he did hit 8 home runs this season.
Proceeds to get rung up, strike 3 looking, Booney gets tossed. Love that out of Booney. Love him getting tossed for him. But my question, Ian, one, should know this answer, don't. Can you challenge fair or foul on home runs?
You can, and they did, I believe, but the problem was...
I was going to say, my point is to that. I just wanted to confirm that you could, and then real quick, my point is, how in 2025 do we not have the technology to have like an electronic line that goes up, and then like it can just say like fair or foul? Like, we have to have that technology somehow, no?
Well, it's... I would say we should for the actual foul line, if like
that too. Yeah.
But like on balls on the ground or balls in the air that land in the field of play, should we have that like tennis does? Yes, we probably should. But you can challenge past the base umpire. So if it's on the ground in front of the base umpire, you cannot challenge. If it goes past the base umpire, you can challenge. But you can also challenge fair or foul home run. The problem with that one, I believe, and why it was a call stands, because there was not enough video evidence, is they didn't have a good enough camera angle in Tampa at Steinbrenner Stadium to
crazy.
Get it
it's
right.
It's almost like they shouldn't be playing games at minor league stadiums. You
it
know?
Sounds to me like that. The Yankees did this to themselves, though, because that's their spring training facility. You're so right.
They should
have
put more cameras in. It's mm-hmm. on them.
Yep.
Yeah, I haven't seen the video yet, but I did hear about this after the game, and I heard it was bad.
I saw like a replay of it, and I was like, How could you say there's not enough video evidence? Like it wasn't like over the pole. Like, you know how some it'll be like, oh, it went like over the pole, crossed clearly fair, and then like ended up foul. Cause it was one where it's kind of hooking a little bit, but like to me at least, I was like, that's as clear and obvious as it gets. Like, that's a fair ball. I don't know. Funny enough, Zach had one. He sent us a video 2 nights ago that he hit an absolute bomb to left field. Like, had to be the farthest ball he's ever hit. And it was like the same thing, but it didn't even like curve foul. It just like was clearly fair. And they called it foul. And he sent us it, and he was not happy about that decision. But obviously in the minors, you can't challenge that. And I don't know what he ended up doing that at bat, but I just feel like with today's technology, there's got to be a way to be like certain of like, oh yeah, that is a fair ball. Like, we have set foul poles. It should be pretty easy to tell whether a ball's fair or foul for home runs, especially.
As Ian said, there's the tennis technology for the balls in the line. And then obviously, like, I mean, you and I both watch soccer, like the Champions the League and stuff. Goal. And and they have all that offside technology down to like the guy, you know, like there's definitely technology out there that's not being used. I will say we were watching the Iowa game Thursday or Friday night here at Marquee, because it was on the network. And we did run into the situation we had talked about a few times where a guy went to challenge, and Martin Peavy got out of the dugout and said, no, you're not challenging that one. Which was because we had talked about what happens when a guy goes rogue in the challenges, and we saw it happen. I don't remember who it was, but somebody went to tap the helmet, and he went, nope, we're not challenging
love that.
Him.
I love that out of Peavy. Oh, he's the man.
It is, I'll just say about the home run thing, it's like there could be no worse feeling than thinking you hit a homer and it not being a homer.
Yeah. Like,
it's hard to hit homers in this game. When you hit one and you don't get it, that really stinks.
That's what Zach sent the video. And like in the video, it's him like they call it foul. And you just see Zach being like, oh, like he was frozen. He's like, what do you mean? Like, that's a fair ball. And like, it looked like he wanted to like argue it more, but he just like wasn't going to get tossed over it. But he's like,
I think that's a situation where I might get tossed. I'm surprised Zach didn't fight it more, because I can see I can picture in my head. Anyone who's watched our show, I think, can picture Zach's reaction. We've all seen it. We know what that face looks like.
He was not happy.
Hand on hip.
He didn't go hand on hip. That's more balls and strikes, at least. So I give him credit for that. He didn't go hand on hip. It was more like the double palms of the sky. Because we're big OPS Plus guys here. Well, Ian is obsessed with the stat OPS Plus. Loves it. It's his favorite thing in the world. Another thing Ian loves, Mike Trout. Mike Trout.
Dude, I was hoping you were going to talk about Mike Trout. I just pulled up his baseball reference page. He's got eight pumps. Eight pumps for Mike Trout. Only one double. No.
What's funny about Mike Trout is he's hitting 189, but he has eight pumps, so his OPS plus is 125.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. We're not worried about that. Okay. He is he's got 16 RBIs, he's got eight pumps, he's stolen two bases. We feel good about him, feel good about where he's at. That average is gonna come up, it always does. It's Mike Trout, good player.
You sneaky have a lot of like crushes in the league. Like, you love Mike Trout, you love Tommy Edman. I guess that's really it. Maybe you don't have too many. Those are your two.
We're a fluff pot. I'm high on players that are good at baseball.
Actually, no, we're out on Tommy Edman diving catch. I forgot. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm mad at him. Yeah. We're in a tiff.
Ian could do you. PR. I mean, that was a good PR spin right there. That was like the president's under attack, and the person goes to the podium and starts defending him. Like, Ian had all the press secretary lines ready to go.
Well, and he didn't even know I was going to bring up Mike Trout.
Mike Trout didn't make an all-star team last year for the first time in his career in a full season. And so he's got to get back to the all-star game. We all know that. And he's well on his way with eight pumps early.
By the way, he did not play a full season last year. He played 29 games.
I was going to say.
Well, but first, so I'll explain my point, okay? The first year he came up was 2011. He was 19 years old. He played 40 games. Okay, couldn't have made the All-Star team that year. He came back for the break. The only other time he didn't make the All-Star team was 2020, when we played 60 games and didn't have an All-Star game. Every other year, he's made the All-Star team, except for last year, because he got hurt too early and didn't make the All-Star team.
I mean, didn't say in a full season, though. So, like, you made it sound like he played.
Okay, I explained myself. I apologize.
You did Mike great. Trout. No, you did great. You recovered.
Going to make the All-Star team this year. He's going to be hitting 250 in a I'll give him 2 weeks. He'll be hitting, just mark this. Clip it, mark it. 2 weeks, he'll be hitting 250. Okay. By the middle of May, he'll be hitting 280. By the break, probably 280 to 300 with 20 pumps by the break.
Before I get to my my last topic. I believe Tom has a couple. What would help Mike Trout get to 300 by the All-Star break in if he wore what?
Bruce Bolt batting gloves. BruceBolt.us. Go to BruceBolt.us to get your batting gloves, signature series, hap series, arm sleeves, elbow guards. Whatever you need, BruceBolt.us. Go check them out. Use code HAP at checkout.
It's one of my favorite things in this show to set you up for the Bruce Bolt ad. It's kind of like become a point of mine of like I know when to throw it into the app of, all right, let's hit the Bruce Bolt here.
Really fires me up when I hear it.
Well, that one took you a second. You're like, what would he wear? What would he wear to get to 300?
Yeah, I was going to say, give advice to Mike Trout? He's the best player ever.
Oh, I actually have two things because what would he wear just made me think of this. I have one reason for which I was still playing baseball. Because fighting necklaces are making a comeback. And I love it. Paul Skeens was wearing one. I forget what team. Like, one team has, I think, Pirates. Maybe McCutcheon bottom for everybody. And I think it's electric. Because it's so funny. Because they were a thing in early 2000s. Like, everyone had a fighting necklace. Like, if you played baseball, you wore a fighting necklace.
Do you remember the concept behind them? Do you remember what the sales pitch was?
It was some... You tell me. I
it was supposed to relax idea, you. But, it was supposed to relax you because of the titanium that was in the necklace or something was supposed to be relaxing. So it was supposed to put you in a good, relaxing place to play ball. I believe that was the fighting, what the sales pitch was. Did I have a fighting? Yes, I did. Yeah. But we always made the joke, like when I was in high school, my brother was in college, I think. We would make the joke, like if you wore like six fightings, would you be too relaxed? Would you just be like drooling? Put you into a state of a little bit of a coma.
We look, they pan to the bench. You have six fightings on you and you're asleep on the bench.
Yeah, like, oh, God. Got too many he overfighting himself again.
I will say, everyone wore them. Like, it was like in high school and college, it's like, if you didn't have one, it's like, what are you doing? Like, why do you not have a fighting necklace?
You
like,
weren't
do you even play baseball?
Yeah.
But that wasn't my last topic. I just thought of that and I loved it. I saw the Pirates did it. I was like, that's just kind of funny. Like, that's
I can't believe they still exist. Where do you even find them?
I didn't know they were still in business, but they're making
they held on to the lean years. You know, they were waiting for it to come back around. It always comes back around in fashion.
Aqua Metal Technology, no free ads. That is hilarious.
I need you when you guys play the Pirates to buy the team fighting necklaces, and you guys can like have battling fighting necklace games.
That would be so funny. Elite.
Fighting would get a ton of publicity. Maybe they'd be a sponsor for the show.
I think they're getting publicity right now.
I mean, if they want to sponsor us, I'll wear a fighting necklace. I'll be relaxed. The last thing I did have, though, is known football fan. If anyone on this pod or anyone I know is a huge football fan, it's Ian Happ. That guy loves the Chicago Bears, Duh Bears. Loves them. I saw an Instagram post by the Cubs. Ben Johnson threw out the first pitch, I think, Saturday.
Yeah.
And who does he take a picture with outside the locker room but known football fan Ian Happ? And I sent it immediately, and I go, huge football guy. This guy loves football.
Well, and I didn't want you to feel bad. I didn't send it to you or a comment because, like, I didn't want you to feel bad about Ben Johnson being a Bear and loving Chicago and being very happy to be in Chicago with the Bears. But Ben Johnson, good guy. It was his son's sixth birthday. It was really awesome. He was having a blast. Big Cubs fans, they were loving it.
Good pitch. Did you see his pitch? A little sinker?
Yeah, a little sinker in there. Yeah, he's happy to be in Chicago. We love it. We love him. Happy for him to be here. Big Bears fan here. Really excited. We were talking shop the whole time. Talking about all the X's and O's. I was fired up about it.
There's no chance you even brought up football because he probably would have said something and you would have been like, who's it? What's Absolutely your guy's not. Quarterback?
Invite,
what's your guy's
he invited quarterback me to practice, again? Though.
That'd be sick. You have to go.
I know.
Zach went to a Lions practice when he was on the Tigers, and he's like, dude, it's sick. Like, you just see all these guys, and you're like, these guys are massive.
Yeah, he invited me to a practice, and if the schedule allows, I would love to do that. It'd be cool.
You got to. That'd be so sick. Bring Nico's not really a big football guy either. If Steele wasn't
– Tom, are you a Bears guy now?
Ooh.
No, I don't think I can commit to being a Bears guy. That seems
well,
like
then you can't come to practice, okay? This is for Bears.
Can I be a football guy? I can be a football guy.
Bears fans only. Okay.
All right.
That was a crazy move to be like, take me to practice. Be like, you're a Bears fan? Be like, nah, I can't do that. Be like, well,
I feel like there's a middle ground there of like, I like football, would be interested in seeing the practice. I'm not, don't hate the Bears.
Give the secrets away.
But as the head of the Bears fans, Ian Happ is not allowing it. And because we know, big football guy. Is he a Steelers fan? Is he a Browns fan? Is he a Bears fan? Who knows? Right now, a Bears fan.
Bears only. Go Bears.
Go Bears. Duh, Bears.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Dubbers.
First thing, first batter coming out of the rain delay, Ian, you had to book it to score in that. I was thinking about it. I was like, I would feel anxious that whole, I don't know what this says about me, but if I was on base when the rain delay happened or I was about to be up, I feel like I'd be anxious that whole rain delay. It's like, you got to be locked in as soon as it's over.
No, you just got to stay loose. You've been through, I mean.
Well, that's why I guess I wouldn't have made it in the major league, you know, because I would have just been like vibrating over there in a chair for an hour and wouldn't have worked out.
Yeah, no, we, you know, this happens. Rain delays happen. You got to stay like ready to sprint full speed when the rain delay is over. But yeah, it was a good read. I'll give myself some props. It was a good read. I got out of the gates there and felt really good about that one.
You're fast. Other one. People forget you got some speed.
Sneaky.
Other one, I sent you guys the video. This was going around. Mike Budenholzer, now former coach of the Phoenix Suns, Bol Bol was in their rotation, had a really great month from like February into March. He was averaging, I believe, like 15 points a game and a couple boards and a couple assists. He's 7'3", of kind of a project out of Oregon that's never quite hit in the NBA, but clearly all the talents there as the son of an Oop Bowl. And he was supposedly taken out of the rotation. This was reported by a couple different sources, including, I believe, Chris Haynes, that there was a fight between Steven Adams and, I believe, one of the Plumlee brothers, whichever Plumlee's kicking around on the Phoenix, Mason. And you, if you watch in the video, Bol Bol's off to the side shooting layups as that fight's going on. And he was taken out of the rotation after that point, basically did not play again, you know, was not really getting meaningful playing time again this season. Been a lot of controversy online. A lot of fans, I think, feel like that's an unjust decision, but I'd imagine you guys might feel a little differently having spent some time in some locker rooms.
I will say, I don't think me and Ian are definitely not like fighters. So like there's no way either of us are in there mixing it up, but it is kind of something of like, you still just kind of go in there and at least like break it up. Like I was more like the media, like you stand around the outside, if anything, and you just kind of yelling at the other side, but you're not doing anything. Like that's more me. I'm more at the back. Like, you suck, but I'm not in there throwing punches or anything. And I don't think Happer is either, but I do think you need to go and like, at least be in there to show like, hey, if things really kick off here, like I can at least break it up and like be there if needed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you either got to be the guy that's holding the guy back.
Yes.
Or holding somebody back, find somebody to hold back. Or you got to be the guy that's over the top saying, yeah.
Well, it's also a little different. I mean, Dakota, you're a big guy, but if you're 7'3", I do feel like maybe, you know, go over there and see if you can help out a little bit. You know, you
are 7'3". See an injury history guy?
He does actually have an injury history.
Yeah. Maybe he's trying to stay away from an injury.
I do think the tough part was shooting, you know, doing some shooting drills during your team's fight. Maybe just don't shoot. You know, I think if you just stood off to the side and not put up the couple shots that he was putting up, maybe he stays in the rotation.
He looks pretty disinterested in the whole affair.
Yeah. Which, again, like I kind of loved when benches would clear just because I like hearing like, because every team's got a couple psychos on it where like they're being serious. They're like, they're yelling like crazy
I'll kill
stuff.
You.
Yeah. And I'm like, whoa. I was like, and I'm looking at the other team. I'm like, no, dude, like he might actually kill you. Like I would
ready
stop.
He's ready to snap.
I'm going to try to hold him back, but I don't know if I can stop.
Yeah. Like
no, you don't pick that guy to hold back. The kill you guy. Yeah, absolutely not. Stay away from him.
Yeah, you avoid the kill you guy and you just, I don't know. I've only been in a few benches clearing stuff and I was, like I said, more just the, like, all right, everybody relax. Like, just,
well, it's tough for the bullpen too, right? Because you guys are usually late arriving. Like, you have to, like, do the jog in or whatever.
Well, I've always thought, like, maybe I should just go form tackle someone in the other bullpen. Like, and then we got a brawl in center field too. Like, that'd be kind of sick.
That'd be awesome.
It'd be electric. I don't want it to get like ugly where anyone gets hurt, but I'll say it. I love like benches clearing brawls. It's electric. It's good stuff. I mean, Ian, I know you don't because you're probably like a part of it most of the time, but like it's fun to watch. It's intriguing. Like when I think it was Nationals and Pirates, they cleared Jorge Lopez through and like up and into McCutcheon. Oh. And then like the umps were talking about, should he be ejected? And then like, I don't know. They were off camera, but someone said something to the other and then bench is clear. And I was like, yeah. Come on.
Yeah. The one that stinks though is like the unnecessary benches clearing or just like kind of a courtesy clear.
Those are stupid. Those like annoy me if anything, like especially the ones where like the bullpen like starts to jog out and then it all dies down and they turn around and it's like, what is this? Like if we're going to come out of the dugouts, like let's do it. Let's get
it's pretty hard to get there from left field too.
I think that's an excuse. I think I need you in there ready to run.
No, I mean, I'm going to get there, but I'm saying that if we're on defense, I'm not going to be the first one to arrive to the scene.
This is with all due respect because I love the Cubbies. I'm a Cubbies fan. I played with the Cubbies minor league system. I love the Cubbies. I'm thinking about the Cubbies lineup right now. Outside of PCA, who has a little psycho in him, I got you guys as maybe the team I'd want to fight the most because I'm thinking like, Nico's not a fighter. Big, like, strong guy, not a fighter. He can see red at times. He will see red, but I don't think he'd ever see red to fight. Dansby's not a fighter. Bush doesn't seem like a fighter. Like, Tucker and Saya, or Tucker, not going to fight. Happer's not fighting, we've discussed. PCA is the only one that might come in and, like, just form tackle someone from behind because he's got a little crazy in there.
We got size on the pitching staff, though.
Yeah, but, like...
Our pitchers really getting in the mix, and you guys got some of your relievers. You got some guys in their late 30s, like Ryan Pressly. Hard to imagine him throwing
haymakers. I don't know why you guys are coming at us like this.
The older guys, Tom, are actually typically the more like wily vets that are like, I'll beat this guy up. Like, I don't care. Like, let's do it. Like, those are the guys you need. You need the
maybe old JT.
Guys.
JT at 40 years old, maybe he's the one stirring the pot, huh?
But he seems like such a nice guy. I just don't know if I see it. He's too nice of a guy.
I'm just trying to.
You're trying to defend your boys.
Trying to get you off our back.
I just was going through the lineup, and I'm like, I don't really see any of these guys starting anything, because I could see our PCA, love PCA, but I could see him at some point getting something stirred up, and it's going to be a lot of just – there's a lot of holdback guys and not a whole lot of fight guys.
Ian, do you have a bench? Like, what do you remember your first benches clearing in the majors? Or, like, is there one that stands out to you?
I feel like you haven't been in like a brawl. Like, maybe benches have cleared and, like, you know, people are shouting benches, stuff, but
benches have cleared, a little bit of shouting. I can't say that I remember like a really serious one.
Oh, the one I forget if they cleared just, I think it was last year when you like accidentally on your backswing hit Willie and then Michaelis hit you, and then Stroman and like the Cubs dugout was chirping him like, what are you throwing at him for? Like, it was an accident. I forget if you guys even cleared on that though.
No, I don't think so.
It's more just chirping.
Yeah.
And I will say baseball is a whole lot more of that than anything else. It's more just like shouts from the dugout and then guys are F you. And that's like, that's really all it is most of the time.
You were talking about like the worst benches clearing is the slow brewing. Like, you, if it's benches clearing, it needs to be like snap, because the worst ones are the ones you could talk about where it's like people are chirping and then a couple guys come out of the dugout. And now you got four guys out on one side. So the other team's like, all right, we're going to bring out four guys. And now everyone's like, I guess we're on the field. Like, I guess we're doing this.
But nowadays it's more the only times they really clear and like brawls happen is if it's like a buildup over time of like, we played these guys earlier in the season and they had like a dirty slide, or like they hit three guys that series. Like, we're not putting up with it this time. That's when like the brawls happen of like bad blood.
If you're going to clear, you got to be super committed, because that's suspension.
Yeah, like, that's the other issue.
Like,
like you throw a punch, really, like you could get five, ten games.
Like, you gotta really be committed to it. I do have Danny Mueller's hot take that I want to get in before we wrap, and I think you guys will find this interesting. So we finished the day today. I was about to leave. Asked Danny for a hot take, and he said he hates the extra inning rule. He hates it, and I believe this is a indirect direct quote. He said, "Just play baseball."
Yes, Danny. Let's go. Great take from Danny. 100%. I co-signed this one. I want to write my name on it as well.
I know Ian's with me. I strongly disagree. I don't need 15, 16 inning games of zero runs happening and nothing really goes on. Like, you get a single and it's like, all right, do we bunt him over? You try to bunt him over. It doesn't, like, next thing you know, the game's 4.5 hours of just really nothing. I like it the way it is, where like, it's to the point where, like, if a game goes even 11 innings, it's like, whoa, that was crazy. Like, they did the same thing in the 10th inning. And I think that's in the best interest of the sport.
I agree. I completely agree. I think both teams are playing by the same rules. You get a guy on second base. You have a little bit of strategy that comes back into the game on what you want to do. And I think, like, you saw that game today. It was 1-1 after 9. Mm-hmm. The conditions, the way the wind was blowing, like, might have taken us a minute. Like, nobody was hitting a homer. Might have taken us a minute to score. Like, you see runs put up in the 10th. You see a run put up in the 11th. You know, we had some bad luck there in the bottom of the 11th and weren't able to score. But it takes that. You know, it takes a line drive that is, like, right at somebody with a behind the runner. Like, it takes something like that to lose the game. And, like, I think that runs being scored in extra innings is interesting. I think nobody wants to – people – is it that fun to watch, like, no runs get scored for four innings? Like, I personally, I don't think so. And I think that it keeps guys healthier. You're using less pitchers. You're getting through without having to designate anybody or get new arms in there. Keeps guys, you know, long games now are 12, 13 innings. I think it's better for players. Like, I think the whole thing is a better product.
What percentage of this take do you think was Danny being upset that you guys had just lost a game in extra innings?
No.
Zero?
No,
he would never, he would never do that. He would never do that.
No, it wasn't about the Cubbies. It was just, I think that sparked it for him, but he genuinely doesn't like the rule.
I agree with him. I think we've had this conversation. I was trying to find the exact number, but I believe it was like 82% of games were ending in the 10th inning anyway. I would have liked an opportunity to have the rule of a kick in the 11th or the 12th. I would have liked to have seen more normal baseball, but I do understand, like, on a day like today, undeniably, I can't lie, when the 10th inning came around, I was like, I'm kind of glad to see the Ghost Runner on a day like today, after the two rain delays, after everything else that had happened. But in general, I 100% agree with Danny, but I understand why it's there.
You got to respect Danny Mueller too, because you know who has it the worst if games go 15, 16 innings? It's the clubbies. Like, they're the ones staying, washing everything, getting the locker room set up. Like, he's the one that's still there for hours after that game. So that guy just loves ball. He still wants ball.
We were actually having a conversation during the rain delay about extra inning games. And Quentin Berry, our third base coach, was telling a story about when he was playing and asked to pitch in like the 18th inning of a AAA game because he was like, let me just get out there and do it. This is crazy. And I was telling the story of the second game of the 2018 season in Miami. We played 18 innings on day two, and just like how brutal that was in the National League too, with, you know, double switches and pinch hitting and stuff. Like, I think I came into that game in the eighth or the seventh, and I ended up playing 10 innings of baseball, like something crazy like that. So yeah, I don't miss 18 inning games.
And we've talked about it before. Then it comes back to like the, you use your long reliever. He ends up throwing four innings and he's got to get optioned the next day because he's down for 4 days and you need an arm in the bullpen. So it's just kind of, I think overall, it just makes more sense to kind of try to get things over within typically 10, 11 innings instead of
getting. The one thing I would say in retort to that is what I love are the weird games. Like, the game on Friday is a game that we'll remember. Like, throughout the rest of your career, you'll probably remember that game at some point. If someone brings up to you that game, you'll remember because of how crazy it was. The same way you'll remember that 18-inning game. I can think about, I've talked about the 16-inning game we played, I called when we were in Walla Walla. Like, you remember those kind of games, and I love those kind of stories, and that's why I love sports. So I think that's part of why I don't like the rule. But I understand from the this is a business, we need to protect guys, we need to cut down to injuries aspect of it. But I missed from the storytelling part of Quentin Berry telling the story of when he pitched in an 18-inning game. That's a cool story. That's a cool memory. That's kind of why we like sports.
But what's funny, though, is Quentin Berry said it from the point of view of, like, get it, like, just let us get out of here. Like, because when you're in the moment, it's like, this just sucks. Like, I'm so over this. Like, if you're not playing, especially, you're just sitting there like, dude, I don't even care if we lose anymore. Like, I just want to go home. It's 1 a.m. We're in the 17th inning. No one scored in seven innings. I do agree, Tom. Like, there are like some fun stories, but most of the time when it's that long, it's just boring baseball for a lot of innings because it's not typically like, oh, they match two runs each. They match three. It's like 0-0-0-0-0. And it's like, okay, somebody please hit a home run.
I do remember in that 16-inning game, it was in Walla Walla, which is like a football-baseball combined stadium. And I was pretty good about timing when I had to pee as a broadcaster, because if you're by yourself, you got to just hold it. And it got to like the 13th, and I said to the guy back in studio, I said, if it goes to the 14th, I'm just going to have to go because like I'm going to pee here in the seats. And when the 13th inning finished, I just said, play ads until you hear my voice again. Sprinted. It was all the way down the right field line, was like sprinting all the way there, pee, sprint all the way back. And then if you listen to that broadcast the next inning, it was a lot of 1-1. And then it was just me off my
catching your breath.
But it was like there was just nothing. And then it would just be the 1-2 outside.
I love that.
But I love those stories. I see both sides. And I understand why it happens. Yeah. But like, and I get like that was not a fun situation to be in. But ultimately, that produces the kind of story that you remember for the rest of your life. So I that's what I miss about.
Fair.
Let's get the people of Sloan screen time. Sloan is the world's leading manufacturer of commercial plumbing systems. They're at the forefront of the green building movement and provide smart, sustainable, and hygienic restroom solutions by manufacturing water-efficient products, including faucets, flushometers, faucets, said faucets twice, sink systems, soap dispensers, for commercial, industrial, and institutional markets worldwide. To learn more, visit Sloan.com. What are your screen
boys?
Times?
Oh, boys. I got a winner today, I think. Come on.
7 hours, 8 minutes.
Ian, go ahead. What's yours, big guy?
242.
No chance. There's no way it's 242. Send the picture right now. I don't believe you.
I'm sending it right now.
That's crazy. You're also an hour behind me. People forget that. You're an hour behind me. this was the best day I've had in a while. Spent time with the family, spent time on the course, 3 hours, 18 minutes. I felt real good about it.
Sorry. I don't know how mine was so low. I mean, I didn't look at it during the rain delay or anything, but.
Why? What were you doing? Talking to your teammates?
I don't like looking at my phone during the games. I think it's an eye thing. I don't like the screen and then having to go hit 100.
I like that thought process. That actually makes a lot of sense. It's fair. Episode 255.
Episode 255 of the Compound Podcast presented by Parse Rum. Our friends at Parse. I got a new camera. I got a new mic. I got a new light. Let us know how it looks. We will see you next week for 256. Remember, May 31st, Music Box Theater. Go get your tickets, musicboxtheater.com. Compound Live Show. See you next week.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drop deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.